Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products, so that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
Protect your peace and rest, because it's been a really hectic and stressful couple of months, you know, maybe even the past, yeah, definitely the past year as well. I am not on my phone whenever I'm not actively posting or working on something, and just having that boundary, because I was seeing a lot of accounts post pictures of hurt Asian Americans and violence, and that really triggered me. And I know that that's been the case for other Asian Americans as well. So, you know, protect your peace, find what gives you joy, and that could be whatever makes you happy, and, you know, create that boundary, because we can't do this fight. Like, we can't, this movement really requires us to rest first.
Now let the magic begin.
Hello, Njaima. Jaima Yomis. It is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a soul-expanding and heart-opening podcast. And this episode is sponsored by Skillshare and Green Chef. More about them later on in the episode, along with in the show notes, as always. And now, this episode was extra special, as this topic is something that I've been looking forward to addressing for months now. And I'm happy to have had this conversation with Kim Syra, an activist, artist, and South Asian influencer. Her handle is @KimSyra. And she has so many great posts informing people on a variety of social issues and topics, like being an ally for Black people and trans people, along with focusing on Asian American experiences, and has had many experiences and learned a variety of different issues that need to be heard. So I totally honor her for using her platform to highlight and honor a variety of different social issues. And in our chat, we talk about Asian American experiences and a few things to be aware of as an ally, along with Kim's story, of course, and moving to America at a young age. And we also touch on art and nature and sobriety. And to be honest, we had a beautiful conversation that felt very warming to the heart. So I hope that this brings some sort of guidance or message for you in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure it does. And I know that in this, we only scratch the surface, as there are so many layers to explore. And so I linked the resources in the bio for you to check out, along with Kim's Instagram link tree for places to donate and petition, like petition to get mainstream media coverage to cover Asian American attacks, and petition to end Asian American hate crimes. So there are a variety of things that we can do to help out. And sadly, this episode was cut short because her Wi-Fi cut out towards the end, which is fine. I still walked away feeling good and nourished with knowing I heard the messages that I needed to hear. However, to honor her time, when we did re-record later, we just recorded the very tail end of the conversation. So if you want me to have Kim Syra back on to talk about all the things, I mean, I'm more than happy to. She's such a light. She's a bright light, so vibrant, so lively, so fun, so knowledgeable, so wise. And I know you'll enjoy her presence too. I also want to add that in the show notes, I linked Gabby Bernstein's free training, 4 Secrets to Writing Your Best-Selling Book, how Gabby went from zero writing experience to being the number one New York Times best-selling author, and how you can too. This is an event that takes place Sunday, May 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And it is not live. There are 2 screening times, but the link is in the show notes. And here are some things that Gabby will share. One is the only thing you need to prioritize to make your book a bestseller, and the biggest mistake most writers make and how to avoid it, along with the number one reason you're blocking your best-selling book and how to fix it. And finally, her secret method for marketing your book so it's widely read. And soon there will be the best-selling masterclass. And for those who complete the best-selling masterclass, I am so happy to offer a free Zoom chit chat with you, where we can give each other feedback on our books and our process. And so that is to be announced soon, but I'm excited for the free training, which is coming up. I believe it's next week, right? So Sunday, May 23rd. There are two times. All the information is in the show notes. And feel free to sign up via the link. And it is Gabby. It is Gabby who is and has been an inspiration of mine for a long time, a spiritual guide, just simply through her books and honestly, her honesty. I appreciate honesty, especially as someone who doesn't really follow any sort of dogmatic spiritual practice. I simply just prefer for my personal spirituality to be simple. As simple as it gets, I love to be creative and tune within my soul and then, you know, here and there do, you know, fun systems like human design and astrology. Those are fun for me, but I keep spirituality very simple and I appreciate that about Gabby as well. So I'm so excited and so thankful to be an affiliate for this. Anyway, so sign up for Gabby's free training. And again, the link is in the show notes. Anyway, I'm also happy to cover new topics, you know, expand my wings a bit. So feel free to let me know what else you'd like to hear on this show. Of course, from spiritual things to simply human things that help human beings in some way, shape, or form. And of course, whatever nourishes our creative spirits. So yeah, I've been listening within in a different way lately, and I feel more open to change and evolution than ever before, and just stepping outside of my comfort zone of what I've known and talked about for so long and focused on for quite some time now, which is only human, you know, and it's only part of our soul's experience, I feel, for us to want to explore a variety of different avenues in this world. You know, that's why I'm also walking into a completely new endeavor into my life, which if you've been listening to this podcast this year, then you likely know, but I won't elaborate on that here. I feel like I talk about it almost every podcast because I'm so excited about it. But anyway, yeah, I feel so liberated lately. So many things have been liberating my spirit in surprising ways. And when I was mountain biking yesterday and the day before, I was thinking and visualizing growth in business in unexpected ways and also in my personal life. So this podcast has been slowly evolving bit by bit, which I'm very open for and may rapidly evolve now. And yeah, I just feel it's very necessary for my soul, and I hope, and I'm so thankful for you for staying tuned, and I hope you continue to stay tuned for the topics I want to talk about now and tap into and dip my toe into. And, you know, I love novelty. That's what I seek. That's what lights my soul. And I don't know why I'm even on this tangent, but it came up. And so thank you for hearing me out. But of course, there will still be many artists and activists and masters of their craft. On the show, I have some other episodes that are pre-recorded that are amazing. One with Brie, which will be next week, most likely, but we already recorded that episode. And you know, everyone loves a good episode with Brie. Yeah, so I'm feeling so lighted lately because I'm so open for new. There's only so many times we can say the same thing over and over in different ways and different expressions, of course, and interpretations, but there comes a time when the human just wants to tap into other lanes. And so we'll see what comes from this, but I've already told the universe I am open for this change. And this is new, what we're talking about today, I would say. I definitely want to talk about more social issues, and so I'm so happy and so thankful to have a knowledgeable person like him, Syra, who has been educating herself this past year greatly to talk about this specific topic. Anyway, that is a tangent I, for whatever reason, decided to embark on. Unabashedly, no shame here. You know how I roll. Well, many of you. If you're new, welcome, and I believe you've started on a wonderful episode. Anyway, also, the giveaway for leaving a rating and review is still active. If this episode or any Euromagic episode opened your heart, your mind, your human in any way, or helped you in any way, I would love to hear from you by simply sending a screenshot of your rating and review to hello@yourownmagic.life so I know that it's you and I can enter you in the giveaway for May. I'm sending someone many of my favorite things like candles, jewelry, books, a tarot deck. We're going with the flow. Anyway, on with the show. And now, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Kim Syra. Kim, so first I just want to ask you, I'm just curious, what is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
I have just been like educating myself on everything that's been happening. I'm unemployed right now, so I'm also trying to figure out my next steps with my personal life. Yeah.
I love that you not only educate yourself, but you share it with others and you make it so it's easier to learn through your art or the way you creatively share it on your Instagram. I think that's a wise thing to do. It seems like that's also a job in a sense.
Yeah, for sure. No, I love what I do. I really enjoy it. And I'm also very grateful for the platform that I have and just people who really just like care to listen to what I have to say.
It's so cool. I'm curious how you even started with all of this. I'd love to hear your story that led you to where you are today.
For sure. I really started the like I guess you can call it activism journey more prominently last year, and this was around the time that the Black Lives Matter movement was really kicking off, and I live in LA, so the protests were all around me.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I was at home working at my job that I had at the time, and I was educating myself about, you know, and we were in quarantine, so I was also at home. Like when I was not working, I was like kind of just like educating myself on what was happening in the news and just anti-racism. And then I would go to work and it really upset me how no one at my job was talking about it. And it just seemed to be such a prominent like issue, and it was just a huge elephant in the room, and none of my colleagues, no one was talking about it, and I would be really upset. So what I did was I bought an iPad, and I already do art like for fun. So what I would do was just draw whatever I was feeling about what I was learning at the time. So that was just a way for me to get out my feelings, and I guess it was a therapeutic way for me to express, you know, like, these are things I think we should care about. But I didn't think that it would generate an audience at all. I kind of just did it for me. And then I guess people were interested. And moving forward, I guess with the Asian hate that's been happening, I'm Asian. So as I've been learning about the whole anti-racism, systemic oppression, it's all very much interconnected. So it wasn't really difficult to understand that when we fight for, when I was learning about how we can stand up for Black lives, this is also how we can stand up for Asian lives. And, you know, so it was just like a very streamlined flow into what I am doing now, which is mostly for advocating for AAPI lives right now.
Yeah. Oh, you're an activist. You're an artist. And this happened so suddenly then for you.
Yeah, very
suddenly. Like your voice. I did not know that. I figured maybe you had been doing this for a while, but okay. So this feels so new. This must be so exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very new. I've also been talking to a lot of, you know, just Asian people who have been following me recently. Mm-hmm. And they feel the same way. They're like, oh, I feel like kind of an imposter because I'm so new to this. I've never really spoken out about my Asianness until now. I never really given it the thought. And I feel like that's also so valid because that's why we say we're constantly learning and unlearning, because we're taught something in schools that it's like that it's kind of different than what it actually is. I'm not saying this is for all schools, but I know for my education, I was very much not taught about my history in the textbooks. And I know that there could have been more emphasis on other BIPOC histories that I wasn't taught as well. So it doesn't really matter like when you show up, as long as you show up, in my opinion.
Ooh, it doesn't matter when you show up, as long as you show up. Okay, I have major chills. Where did you grow up, in California, by the way, or Los Angeles?
Oh, no, I grew up in Flushing, Queens, New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I couldn't picture them. I don't know how Queens educated others, but I picture that maybe there wasn't a large emphasis on Asian American culture or Asian culture.
In Flushing?
In school.
Oh, in school. Yeah. No, right. Not like very minimal to none. Like a pair.
Same.
Yeah.
I grew up in Utah, in Park City, Utah. And I'm all of this has just been so eye-opening, everything. And I'm like, I am so happy to connect with people like you to learn more, especially since my niece and nephew are Asian American as well. And it's like, I want to make sure that they grow up in a world where they feel fully 100% equal. Like, it's not even a thought in anyone's mind, you know?
Yeah, no, that is so, so true. And it's so valid. And yeah, just like standing up for all Asian lives and knowing that we're not all the same, we're not a monolith. No, it's valid.
Okay, will you talk more about that? Because there's a variety of different Asian cultures. I'm more familiar, honestly, with Japanese and also Indonesian, a little bit of Chinese. I'm not asking you to talk about the different cultures, but how do you think that others should approach that when you are not Asian or not even BIPOC, without being too insensitive to others, like cultures, like approach asking questions and everything, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, this is a really good question. A lot of people nowadays a lot of people are throwing around the term AAPI, which is Asian American Pacific Islander. And I have seen and heard, and I agree with the concept that AAPI is not a great term to use for us. There's not really an alternative right now. There's not really an alternative, but it's because there are 48 countries that make up Asia, and there are so many countries that make up Pacific Islanders and cultures and heritages and histories. And I think it's so valid to just also say, I don't know all the cultures. I'm not familiar entirely with Korean culture, and that's totally fine. I'm not, but it's also valid to say, I guess when we're acknowledging the AAPI experience, we should just use the word experiences. And also, a lot of people say AAPI community. And I think it's just not community, it's communities, like with an S. Because, just simple language like that, when you're talking about Asian Americans, AAPI, Pacific Islanders, whenever we're grouped together, it's just good to acknowledge that there's multiple of us. And so whenever I talk about AAPI on my story or on my posts, I almost always acknowledge that like we all have different experiences and stories, and we're not all the same. I'm not going to know about Indonesian culture as much as I know about another Asian culture. And that's, you know, we can all learn, and it's all valid.
That only makes sense as well. 48 different countries, and they are vastly different. It's interesting that we would even consider looping them together. I understand that, you know, that's a sector of the world, but the way that humans in these different cultures eat and celebrate life and celebrate family is vastly different. It's so interesting. I wonder why we do loop them together now that you bring this up, because I was thinking about my former sister-in-law, and I've talked to her about this before. This was years and years. I was young, and I would ask about the difference between Chinese, Korean, and Japanese culture. She's Japanese, and she, I remember, was a little resistant in a respectful way. She's like, we're just so different. It's not even something to compare or loop together at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's so valid. And I think that, I love that now, like, we're more, as I guess I've seen so many more Asians being so more, like, more okay with saying that, that yeah, you can't lump us all together, just as how, like, I'm Filipino, so I'm Southeast Asian, and South and Southeast Asians often get excluded from, like, the Asian narrative, which most people, like, not most people, but a lot of people, like, Americans think, when they think of Asian, they think of East Asian countries, and a lot of other countries get dismissed, and I think that's also so, like, prominent and important to know that, like, I do not identify with East Asian culture that much.
Right.
And that's so valid. And I love how, like, people are now speaking up about that, because I've always thought that internally growing up. I'm like, oh, like, yeah, my friends are Chinese, but, like, I really can't relate to what they do, you know? And I'm like, oh, that doesn't make me Asian, but it does. It's just that we should probably talk about it more.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Soon, one day, we're going to just, you know, completely not divide everything, but more so unify everyone and just say, okay, you're just human. But right now that makes a world of sense. Like, also, I mean, those who are Nepali or they live in India, you know, they, mm-hmm. and being compared to others in China, cultures are so vastly different. So this is such a good conversation to say, okay, the Asian experiences, the Asian American experiences, the Asian communities, because that is simply just a sector of the world, not necessarily a type of human, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Valid.
So do not fast forward, because Green Chef has an extremely special offer for you that is $90 off. You're not going to want to just pass this by because of everything that Green Chef has to offer. I fully give them my stamp of approval for being the best meal kit there is out there for a variety of reasons. Not only health, but they are very environmentally friendly. I'll talk about it. Let me just say that Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. I would definitely prefer some USDA certified organic food. And guess what? Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company where you can enjoy clean ingredients you can trust that are seasonally sourced for peak freshness. And the ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home cooked meals. And best part is Green Chef has a $90 off offer for you, including free shipping, when you go to greenchef.com/90magic. But more on Green Chef a moment. So Green Chef makes eating well so easy and affordable, with plans to fit every lifestyle, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or simply just looking to eat healthier. There is a wide range of recipes to suit any diet or preference. I am loving the vegan one sent my way with the already prepped ingredients. I think I've talked about this before, but I prefer the simple things in life, even when it comes to my cooking and the steps it takes to cook. So honestly, that's what I love most about Green Chef, aside from the fact that it's delivered straight to my door. I love that I just have to take out the ingredients and, you know, prep it a little bit so I feel at least like I'm cooking something kind of like a chef. But, you know, as a lazy chef, it's mostly done for me. And all the ingredients are laid out for me, and I know I'm just eating real food, good food. That, by the way, I need to add this because I can't highlight this enough. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box, so you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. I think that is the key highlight that I couldn't emphasize enough. And here are some delicious plant-powered meals from Green Chef, like their mojito cauliflower and their maple carrot farro bowls. Or maybe feel like a Duke of Spice chickpea bowl. Or how about some smoky Romesco cauliflower? All this is so good. So I'm just saying, they are quite gourmet. You're gonna look like quite the sous chef, maybe for others or for your own self, as you enjoy these healthy meals that are, again, also environmentally friendly. Green Chef's vegan and vegetarian recipes are high in plant proteins and rich in omega-3s. Just a little tidbit right there. Anyway, go to greenchef.com/90magic and use code 90magic to get $90 off, including free shipping. $90, that's amazing. So again, that is greenchef.com/90magic. That's numerical 90magic. One word, no spaces, 90magic to get $90 off, including free shipping. All of that is in the show notes as well. And remember that Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. Wanted to point that out too. Anyway, on with the show. So I'm curious if you want to share any personal experiences from yourself or your family, because I love that you just brought up how when you were younger, you noticed that difference as well, but it just, there was never really like a languaging or an acknowledgement of it. You just felt it. Is there anything else that you experienced when you were younger, something that you noticed your family experienced when walking through this Asian American experience?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I am an immigrant. So I came to America when I was like, I don't know, like five.
Wow.
I was like really young. But my parents are also immigrants. We all came here, and I've experienced the Asian American, you know, or American dream, like the struggle that a lot of families go through when they come to America and they don't have money, they don't have the means.
Yeah.
So when I came here, my mom worked as a maid for like 7-8 years so we can get our green cards, and my dad was like a construction worker. So long story short, I didn't really get to see my parents until I was like 12 years old. I would only see them sporadically, like on weekends, because they were always working.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like staying at friends' houses a lot. So after school, I would go to friends' houses. My parents weren't really like involved. And then we got our green cards when I was 12, and then we were more stable then. But that's just my Asian American immigrant experience. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just like the racism and, you know, feeling like you're not Asian enough, feeling like you're not white enough, like I've dealt with that all my life. I have only unpacked it this year, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm Asian, and it's totally okay to say that, oh, white, like I don't identify with white culture. And I've always felt so guilty about that, because like as an Asian immigrant, you want to assimilate to America as much and as fast as possible. So growing up, when I would see blonde celebrities on TV, I would be like, oh, I need to have blonde hair and blue eyes. And now at 24, I'm like, no, Kim, it's totally okay to not want that. Like, you're not going to be that even if you try. So, and it's totally valid. And those are just like tidbits of how I think many Asian Americans, or just like Asian people in America, face.
Thank you for sharing that. I seriously have chills right now, because I could only imagine. And if you could paint a picture of what Queens was like as far as the community, because I genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
Are there a lot there, or did you feel marginalized in the community as well? Because I know Asian Americans here in Utah definitely do, because there's so few, any by POC, to be honest. It's predominantly white here, obviously. So I'm just curious what Queens was like.
Yeah, it was predominantly Asian. Like I grew up
watching. Okay.
Yeah, so I grew up around so many different Asian cultures, and even in school, because I went to elementary school in Flushing, I went to two, but the first one that I went to, I didn't have any white classmates, and I didn't see like a white classmate until I reached like the sixth grade, when I had to transfer to like another school. But yeah, so I'm very lucky to have that regard, because I know a lot of Asians, when they grow up, they feel ostracized in their communities because they're not white and their communities are predominantly white. But I recognize I'm so lucky to have had that experience, to be growing up around and in Asian communities.
That's so beautiful. And then are you also surrounded by a lot of Filipinos?
Yeah.
No. Okay, that's good. So it was like a sense of home. Really in a sense.
Yeah.
That makes me happy to know that. As someone who's white, I've had one level of feeling just very influenced by the media in a lot of ways of how I need to grow up and be and yada yada. But I can't even fathom what it would have been like not being. And so I think it's amazing that there's so many different voices now that are being highlighted as it should be. As it should have been, yes, since what, yesteryear, many years ago. Like, it's finally about time, but that has been such a not only marginalized group, but there's been a lot of stereotypes that are thrown around that have, for whatever reason, become socially acceptable when it's really not.
Yeah.
Especially in jokes.
And I think as Asian Americans, we've learned to normalize that. Like, I put up a reel today and it was just questions that I've got, like questions I'm tired of hearing as an Asian American, like white people edition.
That's good. I should have read that before the interview.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so fun to make because I asked my followers, I was just like, oh, like it's going to be like submission based. And everything that they submitted, I've gotten asked. So I was just like, oh my gosh, I relate to this so heavy. And it's funny how we've normalized these questions because they're so offensive. But as an Asian, because we all know we get them so much, it's like, yeah, like I'm probably going to have to explain to him what like that justify your identity type thing. But yeah.
I'm just seeing this now. You posted 4 hours ago. Was this also a TikTok? Wait, okay. This is so great. I'm liking this right now. Okay, I'm curious. Oh, I see. So you're having them ask and then you're going to do like another thing later.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So do you mind if I read some of the questions?
Yeah, for sure.
That people, okay, so it looks like, do you know karate? Really? Is that one? What kind of Asian are you? You all look alike. Ooh.
Yeah.
I remember my sister-in-law when I was like in high school, my former sister-in-law, she said to not ever ask that.
Oh, yeah.
That hasn't even been a thought in my mind since.
Yeah.
Is she Japanese or Chinese? That's interesting. Where are you really from?
Yeah.
So that's not a question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like the one. Yeah, that's the one I got submitted the most, like before I did this reel. And I was like, wow, that is... Like, I don't know why people ask that, but I totally understand that we all have gotten asked that at one point, and it's kind of funny now.
But it's not like people ask me, you know, where are you from? I guess, like, I'm from the States, but I guess in a sense, UK, you know? Like, 90%. You know what's amazing? Well, I don't know if it's so amazing, but have you taken a 23andMe ever?
I have never, no.
Really? Okay, well.
I want to, though.
You should. It's so fun. So I am, well, the majority of my family on my mom's side, I know this is like probably so what trivial to people, but they are mostly UK, but my dad, he is pretty much everything. I'm serious. Everything. But Asian. But Asian.
Oh, wow.
So he is. Oh my God. That's why he kind of looks like people think he's Hispanic or he's Persian or he's. Let's see. I don't know. He's seriously Middle Eastern, African, Hispanic, Native American, and then some white. Yeah.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But because I grew up, so of course I have like that little bit mixed. I've always wondered because I'm like, okay, my dad is clearly something, but I am blonde and I look so white. So I've always lived as though I've always had the white privilege because I am so white. You can't tell. So it's just really interesting. Like I have a friend as well that's black, but has a lot of UK English in him. Right. And we all really might be coming from a variety of different places and you never know.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's also, I'm reading this book right now and it's about the history of race, and race is pretty much a social construct. Like it was pretty much created by white people like a long time ago to like take over and like oppress. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that now it's turned into this because we are all human beings and we should recognize that. And I've gotten so many questions. It's like very All Lives Matter vibes, but I totally understand the question, which is like, we're all human, so why don't we just advocate for everyone? And I'm like, yeah, but at the same time, like race is a social construct, but it's created what's happening now. So we should like recognize the atrocities and oppression
yes.
first, and then can recognize that we are all humans and all deserve to be like uplifted from white supremacy.
Amen. We have to acknowledge what has been done first.
Yeah.
In an ideal utopia world, we all automatically leave it behind and can, you know, just everybody in the world, you know, shift. But no, it's going to take time indeed. Mm-hmm. And you have to recognize what has been done mm-hmm. in order for it to finally one day unify and move forward.
Yes.
But it is weird to talk about because, you know, this is truly not like on a soul level. It's really just something that humans go through, and it was a social construct, but on a soul level we're all the same. It's just an interesting thing that we do need to bring it up.
Yeah definitely.
Definitely curious though for those that are listening who are Asian American, because I know I have some listeners who are, do you have any messages for them in this moment?
My message to all the Asian American listeners is, you know, protect your peace and rest, because it's been a really hectic and stressful couple of months, you know, maybe even the past, yeah, definitely the past year as well. So, you know, rest. I am not on my phone whenever I'm not like actively posting or working on something, and just having that boundary, because I've been seeing a lot of, I was seeing a lot of accounts post pictures of, you know, hurt Asian Americans, like, beaten or whatever, and violence, and that really triggered me. And I know that that's been the case for other Asian Americans as well. So, you know, protect your peace, find what gives you joy, and that could be whatever makes you happy, and, you know, create that boundary, because we can't do this fight, like, we can't, this movement really requires us to rest first. So yeah.
Oh, this movement requires for us to rest first. Oh my gosh. I am so overwhelmed in this moment, because for whatever reason, or I feel emotional right now. I don't know why. I guess I kind of know why, and my heart is indeed with this community, especially during this time. I'm happy though, it's finally coming to the forefront of the media and many people's mind, as it needed to many years ago, like we've said. So that is such a beautiful message. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for giving me the space to, you know, speak about it and, you know, just talk about my experiences, because it really means a lot to me. And it means a lot to the people who follow me and, like, want to hear, you know, things like this for affirmations, because they probably feel the same way.
Oh, good. There is a good chance you have heard of the online learning community with thousands of classes called Skillshare. And I hope you take advantage of this free trial, 2-week free trial they have to offer for you, so you can explore all the new creative ventures that they have for you. And perhaps even many of you have tried Skillshare. And I must say, I'm amazed by their quality of production for their classes, and also their teachers and the value they bring to the table. They're masters of their craft, some of them renowned, and many of you may even know, as some of them are online creators. There's so much value that you can explore on Skillshare, whether you are interested in animation, design, illustration, lifestyle, photo and film, business, writing. The list goes on for you to discover and explore. I learned how to use Procreate thanks to Jerome Vogel's digital illustration, Learn to Use Procreate. But there are so many other fascinating classes on Skillshare, such as YouTube Success, Script, Shoot, and Edit with MKBHD, taught by Marcus Brownlee, or Productivity for Creatives, Build a System That Brings Out Your Best, taught by Thomas Frank, or, ooh, this one sounds good, Artivism, Create Inspiring Art for Change, taught by Nicholas Smith. There are a variety of classes, and I know with this free trial, you are going to dig up some gold and nourish that creative soul of yours. Anyway, I'm so thankful they're continuing to gift the Your Own Magic listeners a free trial. So explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/your own magic and get a free trial of their premium membership. Again, that's Skillshare.com/your own magic. Enjoy your 2-week free trial and nourish your creative soul. And now on with the show. Can we also now talk about something else that you are lighted by, which is your art?
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. Okay, yay. I'm curious, what types of art do you prefer to do?
Oh my gosh. I can do, like, I love all art. My art style is constantly changing, but right now I just do digital art. So yeah.
Do you use Procreate?
Yeah, I love Procreate.
It's so addicting. It's so fun. And I wouldn't even call myself as like a I'm an amateur when it comes to it, but there's something therapeutic about it.
Yeah.
Because it's so simple for those of us, like myself, who are very challenged when I pick up a pen and try to draw something.
Oh my gosh. I also an amateur. Like, I don't care. I'm on the same page as you. I'm just winging it this whole time.
Well, it's amazing, whatever you're doing. What's your creation process like, if you have one?
I just, a lot of my work, my past work especially, is very colorful, pastel, and...
My favorite.
Yeah, me too. And I was just inspired by Anne Frank type art, and I was just like, wait, I want to do art that is very, like, eye-catching, like whatever Lisa Frank does. So that was basically my inspo.
Lisa Frank is my childhood. I loved her so much. My shower curtain was Lisa Frank. My backpack was Lisa Frank. My notebook was Lisa Frank. And the folders. Do you have any other hobbies or passions that fuel your creative mind? Because I can tell you're a creative indeed.
Really just being in nature and just taking bike rides and sometimes just clearing my head like that. I'll come home and I'm like, wait, I have so many more ideas that I want to do. But I wouldn't have been able to have those ideas if I was just like at home, just like sitting on my bed. I kind of like need to be outside and like in nature moving around, and then I'll like clear my mind up.
100% amen. I feel stuck and stagnant if I'm indoors all day. I have to go outside and roam in nature.
Yes, same.
I saw your highlights and I see you recently became sober, which congratulations, by the way. And I'm curious how that has impacted your life and maybe even perhaps your creativity.
Oh my gosh. Someone commented on one of my posts and she is also on the sobriety journey and she was like, I feel so much more awake now. And that's like how I feel, because I didn't talk about it for a while because I was just like, oh, it's really not that important. But I really just have been enjoying the journey, and I've been surrounding myself by people who don't pressure me to drink, or, you know, they don't really care if I do or don't. So it's just been really rewarding for me personally, because I know everyone's journey is different. I've slipped up a couple of times. Like, I've drank twice, like, on this journey, and I realized, like, that's totally fine. Yeah. And you know, I really love it. I think it has like fueled my creative process a lot more, because I just, like, again, feel more awake in a sense, but also, like, it's been really difficult in terms of, like, having to examine the person I was in the past, and just like when I was drinking a lot, and be like, ooh, that's cringe, like, that's not who I am now, like, because it does change. Like, I noticed, like, I changed a lot when I stopped drinking completely.
So good to hear and know. It's so beautiful to watch people as well on their sobriety journey.
Yeah.
Are you ready for a rapid fire round?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, do you prefer coffee or tea?
Tea.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Yeah? Yeah. Do you have a morning routine?
No.
No. You say like a flowy person, like not too much of a routine.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I feel that. So when you're not working, or when you're not Instagramming, or, you know, educating yourself, how do you like to spend your time?
Depends on how I feel. Sometimes I like to sprawl on my balcony. Sometimes I like to take a bike ride. It really just depends on the day.
I love that. See, it's just about the flow of the day. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't even ask that question when you just said as well. You're like, I don't have a routine. I just go with the flow with whatever. Yeah. Most use emoji.
I think it right now is the nauseous one. It's like puking, but like not puking. You know, the more minor one. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. That's like my most used word.
That's funny. any books or TV shows that you're currently reading or watching, if any?
Oh, I'm reading my friend Nadia Okamoto's book, which is The Period Movement. She's such a great like friend and advocate for, you know, period movement. And also shows that I'm watching. So I'm very much into reality TV right now because it's just taking my mind away from like, you know, what's been happening. And I've been watching The Real Housewives.
Which cities?
The New York one.
Okay.
So, and I like binge watch that so much. So yeah.
I started Real Housewives. I don't know if you're like new to it. I'm new to it because I started. You're new to it? Yeah. I started in 2019 because I was like, I'm not going to watch that. You know, everybody. There's a reality show stigma. And then my friend Jordan was watching it and, you know, she hyped it up. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And, you know, became addicted, obsessed, consumed.
Yeah.
When Real Housewives Salt Lake City was ready, I was so excited coming from the show.
Oh my gosh, that show is so problematic. And for some reason, I like cannot stop watching
it. It's addicting. Like, oh my God. I know. Yeah. I think it's because, especially if you live, like my life, I feel like is pretty chill. Doesn't have a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And so maybe my human just wants to like seek it and just finds it so entertaining. I don't know.
Yeah, same.
Do you have a favorite era of music?
The 70s right now.
Really? 70s like rock?
I love 70s rock, yeah. And then just like old-timey music that like my parents listened to that at the time I was like, oh, why are you playing this? And now I'm like, oh, this is good music.
Right? There's a new level of appreciation for it. It's like nostalgic as well. Because my parents, 70s would definitely be what my dad played the most. And so I have to agree. I mean, my favorite is probably 90s, but 70s when it comes to oldies.
Yeah, same.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, this is the last question that I ask all the Euro Magic guests. How would you advise the Euro Magic listeners to create their own magic?
To just go for it. And I know that's like really corny advice, but when I was first starting, I was really scared and had a lot of like imposter syndrome. And if I had like believed that route, I would have never been where I am like right now, which is a much happier place with what I do and like more fulfilling. So yeah, just go for it. And, you know, don't be like scared of like what just go for it.
Just go for it. It's truly only the mind that holds us back. If we feel it or we have a desire to make it happen, it will happen.
Yeah.
And I'm happy you went for it, Kim. I actually think that that's great advice. And for whatever reason, I think what most people might find quote unquote corny or whatever, it always ends up being honestly the most truthful.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding too.
Everyone go follow Kim on Instagram at Kim Saira, KIMSAIRA. And is there anywhere else where people can connect with you?
No.
No, that's it.
Yes.
Kim, you're truly such a light. This has been such a great conversation. A conversation of gold that I needed to have on this podcast. And I'm happy that you were the first to explore this with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and for giving me the safe space to talk. And I really, really appreciated it. I had so much fun. So thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yomies, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Euro Magic Facebook group.
especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the euromagic.life membership site. All right, well, thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.